Well, good morning once again. Pastor Matt shared at the beginning of the service that we have some of our church family that are in the hospital, so let me highlight that again for those of you who may not have been here when our service began. Earl Sams was involved in a bad car accident on New Year's Eve, and so Earl is in the hospital. They moved him to rehab yesterday, but keep Earl in your prayers. Dorothy Seeley was taken to the hospital this week as well. I got word this morning, kind of secondhand, that quite possibly hospice has been called in for Dorothy. And so you need to keep Dorothy in your prayers and the family. Jeff Roethlisberger's father has been taken back to the hospital. And then one of our missionaries, Pat Dye, is in the hospital. So we've got a number of our church family and staff that are in our hospital, so keep them in prayer. Also want to inform you that the Rabakis' mom, Vivian Rabaki, is receiving hospice care right now. She's in Stonecrest in Freeland, but she's had hospice called in as well. So keep Vivian and the family in your prayers. So lots of folks to be praying for at this time. Let me share with you some good news some good announcements, if you will. Last week, or the month of December, I shared with you that we would, what came in with our offerings, what exceeded our obligations, we were going to give toward the paying off of a $64,000 loan on our facility. And so whatever we collected over the course of the month that exceeded our obligations would go toward that. Last Sunday, I shared with you that we had $93,000 that had come in over the course of the month, and so put us right close to both meeting our obligations and paying off that loan. And I said if we had a good offering last Sunday, it would throw us over the edge and we'd be able to pay off the loan and meet all our monthly obligations. And then last Sunday, if you've noticed in your bulletin, we had over $50,000 in one offering last week. And $49,000 in the general fund, a couple thousand in the building fund. And so that has enabled us on Monday of this past week to write a check to pay off the loan. It's certainly met our obligations and put us in the black. So we praise God for that. So we praise God for that. Thank you for your generosity, and we're just very pleased. And then one last announcement. By way of last Sunday, our messages have been taken out of the book of Proverbs. We are gaining wisdom from the book of Proverbs. And last Sunday, our topic was wisdom on planning, wisdom on New Year's resolutions, goal setting, stuff like that. And we had one point that I gave you, kind of a one-point message, and this was the point, if you were not here, or if you've already forgotten and need a reminder. The point of the message was this. We should make God-honoring plans for doing good. We should make God-honoring plans for doing good, acknowledging God's sovereignty while remaining committed to doing God's revealed will. And I shared that message with you last week. I challenged some of you to bring others into your planning so that they can kind of hold you accountable and challenge you. And, hey, are you making God-honoring plans for doing good? What are they? I had someone ask me this last week if I were making God-honoring plans for doing good. And I always appreciate when someone challenges me with my own message. And I've discovered personally I'm more of a planner than a resolution maker. I don't necessarily sit down and just make resolutions and hope that my discipline will carry me through. I'm just more of a planner. So I have been, and my wife and I, we've been sitting down this past week and thinking through our lives and thinking through what we're doing and what we'd like to do, and we've been making plans and looking forward to seeing some of those come to fruition should God be gracious to us. I will share with you one good work. We make God honor plans for doing good. I'll share with you one good work that I will not be engaging in anymore this next year. I've done it once. I'm not doing it again. I won't be giving blood. The last two times I've given blood, and the last time was this past week, the last two times I've given blood, I've passed out four times. So enough of that. I'm a universal donor. You could all take my blood, but you're not getting it. My wife gives regularly, and she gives every time they call, and she's into the gallons with her donation. I gave a pint this last week, and that's it for the year. Passed out on the bed. I came to, and there were angels all around me. But they had scrubs on and glasses of orange juice. And passed out a second time later. That wasn't fun. So anyways, That's one good work that I'm not completing anymore. I'm a wimp, I'll admit it. Well, on to a new topic. Last week was wisdom on planning. This week we're going to go back into the book of Proverbs and look at wisdom on another topic. But let's look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll deal with the topic at hand this morning. Heavenly Father, we do come to you. We've been in your presence already this morning. We've come to you in prayer. We're grateful that you invite us to come, and through Christ we have acceptance. And we're grateful that as we come, you hear us, and you listen, and you care. And you ask us to take burdens, lay them on your shoulder, and you carry them. And so we're grateful for that. We acknowledge the very relationship we have with you has come to us through Christ, so we praise you for him. Father, this morning we pray for some of our family members who would be here this morning but are just unhealthy and have experienced calamity this week. And so we pray for Earl, we pray for Dorothy, we pray for Pat, we pray for Vivian. Father, we pray for these people who need help, who need your care. So we pray that they would know of your comfort, your presence, your concern. Pray that you'd give them strength and rest. We pray for those that are caring for them that they would administer their work with your grace. And may they know your help. Father, as we come to you in prayer, we talk to you and you hear and listen. We pray now that as we approach your word, that you would speak to us by your Spirit and that your word would find a place in our hearts and minds. Renew our minds, change our thinking, adjust our thoughts to be your thoughts. Continue to do your work that you've promised to do of conforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. Make us humble and receptive to that work in our life. And we pray that you would do that work in us this morning as we open your word. Father, we love you. We recognize that we love you because you loved us first. And our love for you is a reciprocal love. And so receive it, we pray, along with our worship, and cause your love to grow in our hearts and flow over to others, to one another here. So we ask for that as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, some of us who are a bit older might remember a little saying from our childhood. I've not heard the saying in recent years. Hopefully it's passed out of circulation. It would be good if it did. But some of you might remember when you were a little kid out on the playground, this little proverb that went like this. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Some of you know that or remember that. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words or names will never hurt me. That little proverb, of course, we brought that proverb up when some big meanie came along on the playground and he's calling us names or saying bad things, and we would bring out the little saying, the little sticks and stones saying, hoping that that person would move on to someone else, right? And call someone else bad names because we were above that. We weren't going to be brought down by his name calling. The little saying we knew well and maybe quoted often, the problem with that little saying is it's not true. It's just not true. Sticks and stones may break bones. Certainly that's true. Some of us have experienced that. Sticks and stones break bones, but words are powerful too. Our words have real significance and real consequence. Sticks and stones may break bones, but bones typically heal in a relatively short period of time. But there are some words that can leave wounds that last a lifetime. Words are powerful. Have you ever said something you wish you didn't say? Boy, once you utter words, once you communicate, you can't retract those, can you? And I'm sure probably all of us have experienced we've said something, and as soon as we say it, it's either crushed someone's spirit, or it communicated something we didn't really mean, or we wish we wouldn't have said anyways, and have you ever been told something you just wish you never heard? You hear it and you think, I could have gone the rest of my life without hearing that. Have you ever been called something that you wish you'd never been called? We have four kids in our home, or at least we used to have four kids in our home. We have one now. As our kids were growing up, we gave them names. We never called them by their real name. Brooke was Brew. Melody was Mel. Austin was Bruiser. We named him that as a baby. He was just constantly falling, had bruises all over him. So he wasn't mean and tough. He just was bruised. So we called him Bruiser. Brooke was Brew. Melody was Mel. Austin was Bruiser. And Jesse, the one that's in our home, we call Cesar or Cesar Lou. Those are names or terms of endearment, right? They're family names. We use them in the home, and that's what we call one another. When I go home for my family Christmas or when my family gets together, no one calls me Dr. Mark or even Pastor Mark. I'm called Bose. I've been called Bose since before I can remember. And so when I go home, that's what I'm called, Bose. Have you ever met someone who grew up being called something less than endearing, less than affectionate? Or have you ever met someone who is now an adult who was referenced in the negative the entire time they grew up? Called shorty, fatty, ugly, dumb. You run into someone who grew up and they were always referenced in the negative. You ask them if words never hurt. No doubt they would much rather have a broken bone that would heal than a damaged image because of how they have been referenced their growing up years. Our words are powerful. Our words have significance and consequence. And we've been studying through the book of Proverbs, and from the book of Proverbs, you read through the book and you discover from the book that our words are powerful. Let me share with you just some series of verses from the book that communicate that. Let me turn this on here. With their mouths, the godless destroy their neighbors. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise, on the other hand, brings healing. A truthful witness saves lives, but a false witness is deceitful and damaging. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering tongue works ruin. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. How do you like that? This past week, I was driving down Tittabawassee Road, and I pulled up to one of the red lights, and the guy in front of me in the car leaned over and kissed the girl he was with. I thought, wow, I used to do that. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, healing to the bones. The tongue has the power of life and death. Our words are powerful. A few more, like cold water to a weary soul is good news from a distant land. And then this one, like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. It just won't land. You read through the book of Proverbs and you run into these verses, and there's many more, that communicate how powerful our words are, how powerful our communication is. And as you read the verses, and I began to putting them down and pulling them out of the text and writing them out on a piece of paper, and I discovered quickly that our words are very powerful. Our speech either heals or it hurts. Our words give life or take life. Our words are trustworthy or deceptive. Our speech meets real needs or it leaves wounds. Our words build one another up or they make great boasts. Our words are pure or perverse, purposeful or reckless. They impart wisdom or they lead people astray. They're valuable or worthless, gracious or malicious, righteous or evil. With our words, we either honor God or dishonor Him. Our communication is powerful. As I began plowing through the book of Proverbs again, as I've done with previous topics. I began working through the book and reading every chapter, reading every verse, and looking at verses that talk about our communication, our speech, our language, our lips, our tongue, our mouth. And I ran into a couple of startling revelations. First of all, the sheer volume of verses on the topic of our communication is just numerous, just huge. A lot of verses on our language, our communication. We already did a series of out of Proverbs on the topic of money, because the first few times I was reading through the book, that there was a lot of verses that talked about money. Well, the verses on our communication far outnumber that topic. So that was the first revelation. Wow, this book just has a lot of wisdom, a lot of counsel, a lot of advice to give on our communication. And we've got a lot of wisdom to learn from it. The second revelation that came to me as I was reading through the book, I'm looking at every verse and I begin pulling out every verse that talk about our communication and putting them in list. And out of the large number of verses that talk about our communication, the largest number of those verses talk about one topic. The topic of listening. Arguably, the words listen or pay attention or give heed or hear or tune your ear are the most repeated words in the whole book. Listen, pay attention. Those words are found in just about every chapter. And I was overwhelmed by it, and so I thought that's where we'd begin on this topic, this series of wisdom on our communication. We'd talk about listening. Half our communication is listening, right? Well, right now it's 100%, 100%. Or probably not quite 100%, to be real honest. Your mom, at least my mom, when I grew up, used to always say, hey, God gave you two ears and one mouth. You've heard that? God gave you two ears and one mouth, so you ought to listen a lot more than you talk. I don't know how well we heeded that counsel, but it was good. It's biblical. Proverbs 20:12 says, ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. Proverbs 18:13 says, to answer before listening. Any of you guilty of that? Boy, we do that in our conflicts real easy. You get in an argument and you're already thinking through a reply why the other person's running their lips. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. One commentator said this. He said, when we speak, we tell what we know. But when we listen, we might just learn something. Well, that's a novel idea. Listening, such an important discipline. Proverbs 29:20 says this. Do you see someone who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for them. Proverbs 17:28, even fools are thought wise if they just keep quiet, and discerning if they just hold their tongue. And then Proverbs 20:19 tells us to avoid someone who talks too much. When people talk too much, sin is not absent, and gossip's going to start rolling. There are a lot of verses that talk about holding your tongue, guarding your mouth, guarding your speech, not talking too much. But again, the number of verses that just strictly tell us listen, 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 pay attention, give heed to this, are overwhelming. I won't share all of the verses with you this morning. It would take far too long. But let me share with you just a few. Some verses that just say, listen up. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. That proverb is repeated in the book numerous times. And you get toward the end of the book and it even says, don't forsake your father's instruction or your mother's instruction when they're old. Whoever listens to me, wisdom is speaking, whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Turn your ears to my words of insight that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end, you will be counted among the wise. Apply your heart to instruction, your ears to words of knowledge. Listen, my son, and be wise. Set your heart on the right path. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds, listens, pays attention to wisdom's instruction. That's just a small number of verses out of the large number of verses that just repeatedly say, listen, 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 pay attention. Not only in the book are there blessings and good things associated with those who listen and pay attention, but the book also warns of grave dangers of those who will not listen, who do not pay attention. Let's see a few of those verses. This is wisdom speaking, but since you refuse to listen when I call and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. Some of us maybe have a hard time. That's God speaking. That's wisdom personified. And God, if you look at chapter 1 and chapter 8 and chapter 9, God keeps saying, hey, listen to me, pay attention, I give you wisdom, I give you instruction, pay attention, give heed to what I'm saying, because if you do, you'll be blessed. But if you just refuse to listen, at one point, you're just going to experience the fruit of your way. And when it happens, I'm going to stand back and laugh. We reap what we sow. And those who refuse to listen, refuse to pay attention, will eventually reap the consequences of that activity. And God says so. Stop listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. I would not obey my teachers or turn my ear to my instructors, and I was soon in serious trouble in the assembly of God's people. Whoever scorns instruction will pay for it. Whoever hates correction is stupid. We know that's not King James, right? They wouldn't have said that back in the 16th century. Mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise altogether. Those who disregard discipline despise themselves, but those who heed correction gain understanding. Well, there's just a lot of verses in the book, and we've covered a selection of them, that just tell us, listen, pay attention, give heed to wisdom's instruction, listen to your parents' counsel, don't forsake those that are wise. And there's also a lot of verses that we've just kind of looked at that threaten kind of terrible things to those who won't listen. As I was thinking through these verses and thinking through the book and looking at all these verses and learning from it, I began to think, and a couple questions came to my mind, a couple questions I'll ask this morning. First one is, who? Who are we to listen to? Who are we to listen to? And then the second question is, how do we really become good listeners? You know, our mom told us for a long time, you have two ears, one mouth, listen more than you speak. How well have we developed into being good listeners? And how do you go about doing that? First, who are we to listen to? We're to listen to those who are wise. Repeatedly, that's the counsel in the book of Proverbs. And here's a verse for you. Pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have them ready on your lips. So we listen to people who are wise. According to the book of Proverbs, who are wise people? According to the book of Proverbs, the people who are wise are the people who fear the Lord. And the people who fear the Lord listen to the Lord, trust what He has to say over their own thoughts and counsel, and by faith they put it into practice. And so we are to listen to those people who are wise, people who have listened to the Lord and learned to walk with the Lord by faith, and their spiritual maturity is, if you will, ahead of ours. We are to listen to wise people. That's the repeated counsel of the book of Proverbs, listening to those who are wise. Of course, that brings up the next one. If we are to listen to those who listen to the Lord, then we too should listen to the Lord. And Proverbs chapter 2 says this, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding." When I think about listening to the Lord, it's very practical. But when I think about listening to the Lord, I'm not thinking about getting off into some quiet corner and meditatively listening to whatever voice comes floating on by. Because quite frankly, that can be quite dangerous. Because there's a lot of voices that come floating on by. And you find some quiet corner and you kind of empty your mind and start just meditating, listening to whatever voice comes floating on by. And probably the most popular voice you'll hear will be whose? Quite possibly your own, from your own psyche. And so when I'm thinking about listening to the Lord, I'm not talking about getting off into some corner and emptying your mind and grabbing any voice that comes on by and attributing that voice to God's voice. When I think about listening to the Lord, I'm thinking about listening to the objective voice of God that has been written down and recorded for our benefit, found in the Scripture. So when someone comes along and says, hey, God said, I'm ready to say, where are we turning? Chapter and verse. Now, I'm not going to get into a prolonged thing. I understand that God speaks, and He reveals Himself, and He speaks through His Word, and I also understand that God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit and communes to people, but that, quite frankly, is a subjective communication, and I'm not going to go down that road this morning. When I'm talking about listening to the Lord, I'm talking about listening to His objective voice recorded, written down for our benefit in black and white on the paper. The author of the book of Hebrews said this, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets in many ways and at many times. But in these last days, and we're in the last days, in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom He created the universe. The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. God has spoken to us definitively through Jesus Christ. The Apostle John would say, the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The Apostle Peter, referring to the written Word of God, would say, hey, this isn't cleverly devised stories. This is a prophetic message, and it's completely reliable. Something that was written down by eyewitnesses of God's majesty. People wrote this as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And then Peter would say in 2 Peter chapter 1, we would do well to pay attention to this. We do well to pay attention to this as a light shining in a dark place until the morning star rises in your hearts. So we need to be listeners. Who should we listen to? We should listen to those who are wise, and we should listen to the Lord. Proverbs would say this, every word of God is flawless. He's a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to your words or He'll rebuke you and prove you to be a liar. Have you ever met someone who came along and said, hey, the Lord said, and then 6 months later, a year later, they're like, I must have heard the Lord wrong. We've probably all had that experience too. Who are we? We're to be listeners. That's wisdom from Proverbs. Listen, pay attention, give heed. To who? To those who are wise and to the Lord, His objective word that He has written down. Well, the last question I have for you this morning, I don't have anything on the screen and probably should have, because this is very practical. How do we become listeners? How do we grow in that discipline, if you want to call it such? As I was thinking this through, my thoughts ran this way. First of all, if I answer the first question well, the question of who is it that I should be listening to? If I choose wisely, and if I really answer that question, who should I be listening to, then the act of listening should logically follow. But if I've not answered that first question, who is it that I should be listening to, it's unlikely that I'll ever listen in any context at all. Let me give you an illustration. You ever go to a conference or a seminar or to a speech or maybe to a Camp Barakel, and you go because the person who is speaking he's an expert, he's knowledgeable, he's renowned, and you go and you have made the decision, when I get there, I'm going to listen. I'm going to go and I'm going to hear this guy because I want to hear what he has to say. The answering of the question, who we listen to, really helps me get to the how do I listen. If I've not made the choice of who do I listen to, it's unlikely I'll listen in any context. In that conference seminar illustration, you go to the conference, you go to the seminar, the person speaking, everyone's listening, everyone's paying attention, they're listening to everything he has to say. Maybe at the end of the speech, there's a little Q&A time, and you're sitting there and people are asking good questions and there's good dialogue and the expert is responding and you're gaining from that. And then some yahoo in the crowd stands up and goes into a speech. And you're there 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, and you're like, I came to hear him. Not any of you had that experience? Some of you. Some of you don't want to admit to it, maybe. Because we've made a decision. I'm listening. I've come to listen to that person. I didn't come to listen to you. So that's where my, how do I become a good listener? Because this is very practical. God promises good things to those who listen. Well, how do I become a good listener? Answering the question, who is it that I'm to listen to, is the first step in answering how I learn to listen. Do I value what God has to say? Is God a real expert on any given topic? Has God spoken? Do I value what God has to say? Because if I value what God has to say, I'm going to listen to it. Do I know people who fear the Lord, who've walked with the Lord longer than I have, who've learned to listen to the Lord and to, by faith, put his word into practice? Do I know some wise people? Because I should choose to listen to them too. So asking that question, answering the question who, helps me with the how. A couple other things. How do we become listeners? I also understand, and probably more importantly, to listen to God requires grace from God. I'm thinking of the verse, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. To listen to anyone requires a degree of humility. You're going to humble yourself so that you might hear them. God opposes the proud, he gives grace to the humble. I want that kind of grace. So for me to be a listener, and if I'm going to listen to God, I probably ought to begin by just acknowledging my bent toward pride, repenting of that, submitting myself to God and to his word and kind of humbling myself before him. It's a place where I need to begin. God, I want to listen to you, so I come to you, I acknowledge my pride, and I want to hear from you. So speak and humble me so that I might experience your grace is a good place to begin. Listening to God requires grace from God, so we begin with him. Another thought I had is I also understand that becoming a good listener, particularly listening to the Lord, is a faith issue. It's a faith issue because God promises really good things to those who listen to him. And the question is, do I believe him? One last verse I'll show you this morning. Again, God is speaking, or wisdom is speaking. Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed, happy are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. God promises good things to those who listen. And so if I believe God and take him at his word, that will also move me to listen to him. So that's the message this morning. Listen, pay attention, give heed. How do you do that? We answered those this morning. How we'd like to complete and conclude our service this morning is by celebrating together around the Lord's table. Now, before you just kind of check out of the message and tune into this, We celebrate around the Lord's table. Why? Because Jesus said. Because Jesus spoke. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Partake of the cup and remember my blood that was shed to pay for your sin. Partake of the bread and remember my body which was broken for you. I was cut off from my heavenly Father so that you might be reconciled as I became a sacrifice for sin. So Jesus, when he was here, God in the flesh, the Word become flesh, Jesus, the Son of God, he said to his disciples, do this. Just do this in remembrance of me. And so here we are, you know, 2,000 later, years later. Listening and doing and remembering Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask the gentleman to come, and we can quiet ourselves and ask the gentleman to come and help me distribute the elements of this table. And as the gentleman come, let's just look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you are a God who speaks and who reveals himself. You have revealed yourself in your word so that we might know you and respond in faith to you, and we're grateful for your word. Help us to be listeners. Give us grace to listen and to learn and to accept and keep what you have told us. Father, we're thankful that your word became flesh. Jesus Christ took on flesh, became one of us, was the exact representation of your being. And he came for a purpose. He came to shed his blood. He came to be a sacrifice, a payment for our sin. And Jesus gave us this memorial table, this memorial observance, partaking of the cup, partaking of the bread, and remembering him. We're grateful that we will do this until Jesus returns, and we'll do it in your presence together. What a fellowship. What a blessing. We praise you for it. Make us mindful as we partake of these elements this morning of all that you have done to secure for us the relationship that we enjoy with you and with one another. We recognize that we partake of this because you have made us worthy through Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.